I'd like to call this meeting of House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. The time is 11:03 a.m. on Thursday, January 27, 2022. Members present are Representative Vance, Representative Story, Representative Kreis Tompkins, and myself, Vice Chair Stutes. We have a quorum to conduct business. Today, I am chairing this committee for Representative Tarr, who is participating remotely, and I will double-check that. Do I see her on there? I do not see her on there. She is not. Pardon? Okay, I'll let you know when Representative Tarr is here, but she's unable to be here personally. So I'm happy to step in and help her out. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone to please silence their phones. Welcome, Representative McCabe. Members, if you need to pass a note, please get the attention of the House Fisheries Committee aide, Thatcher Brower, who's right over here on my left. I'd like to thank Shannon McKean, our committee secretary, and Kelsey Riker from the Juno LIO for support. We have two items on the agenda today. SJR 16, end Russian embargo on U.S. seafood, and SJR 17, increase seafood exports. These bills have previously been heard in this committee, and we have a couple amendments. So, I have received two amendments for SJR 16. And Representative Story, would you like to move amendment number one?
Yes, I move amendment one to SJR 16, labeled 32-LS0912/A.1.
And I will object for purposes of discussion. Representative Story, if you would please explain to us your amendment.
Thank you, Chair Stutes. During testimony on SJR 16, a testifier mentioned adding the U.S. State Department, the U.S. Commerce Department, and the U.S. Trade Representative. Would be important that these groups got this letter. Amendment 1 adds the appropriate officials that head those federal departments to the list of recipients of the resolution. I did check with the bill's sponsor office about this amendment, and they were agreeable to it being offered.
Thank you. Does the sponsor have any comments on this amendment?
No, Madam Chair. I appreciate the change.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Hearing no other comments, I will remove my objection. If there are no other objections, amendment number one to SJR 16 passes this body. Brief at ease. Will the committee please come back to order? So, amendment number two is I am sponsoring with Representative McCabe and Representative Vance, double checking to make sure Representative McCabe. So I will move amendment number two to SJR 16, labeled 32-LS0912/A2.
Object for discussion.
Thank you. This amendment follows up on our conversation from the last Fisheries Committee meeting. So before you, as you see, is Amendment A2. This amendment strikes a balance between the original intent of SJR 16, which was to ask Russia to end the trade embargo on U.S. seafood imports, and a more proactive and Alaska-first approach of placing an embargo on Russian seafood imports into the U.S. until our access to the Russian market is fully restored. The amendment directs the President to end the Russian embargo on U.S. exports as soon as possible or impose a similar embargo on Russian imports into the U.S. Our world-class and sustainably managed seafood products are being undercut by Russian seafood domestically, while Russia has an embargo on our products. This situation has to end, and I believe the version of this amendment urges a more proactive solution for our Alaska fishermen. So, does the sponsor have any comments?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just say that it makes it a stronger resolution. I appreciate it and have no objection.
Thank you. Are there other comments? Representative Christ Tompkins.
I think it makes a ton of sense. I'm not sure to what extent the U.S. government asking Russia pretty please to stop tariffs on Alaska seafood is going to do anything when they're just about to steamroll into Ukraine potentially any week now. And I mean, if that's a sovereign foreign country, I can't imagine what regard they have for Alaska seafood products. So it seems like sticks are necessary in addition to carrots. And with that, I'll hold my objection until I take the cue from the chair.
Are there any further comments? Representative Vance.
I just want to thank you for mentioning that we need to speak up more proactively on this, and for the collaboration that went into just the wording that we could have in a unified effort to achieve this quickly.
Thank you. Other comments? Representative McCabe.
I would agree, Madam Chair. As I said last meeting, our fisheries is the big gorilla on the planet. And if we can't flex our muscles a little bit, especially if the state can't flex our muscles a little bit, then maybe we don't deserve that moniker. But even with Russia planning to, they're going to need food for their troops, so maybe this is a good time. I don't know, but nobody messes with our family except us, right? And it seems to me that the federal government is messing with our family, especially through the U.S. Trade Representative's webpage that doesn't even bother to mention our fishing fleet. I think it's, I would even like to send a memo to them saying, what the heck? But perhaps this will do it. Thanks.
Thank you. Representative Story, any comment?
No, other than I support the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Christ Tompkins, would you like to maintain your objection?
No, I'll remove my objection, Madam Chair.
Are there further objections? Hearing none, Amendment Number 2 to SJR 16 passes this body. Senator Stevens and Mr. Lampkin, we are now, that brings us back to the resolutions. Please come forward, put your name on the record, and if you would like to make any closing comments, we would love to hear them.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hesitate to get much closer to that gavel, but so it's a
watch it.
We do have some safety belts. Here, so here.
Well, thank you very much for hearing this resolution. Senator Gary Stevens, District P in the Senate. Just a point of interest, my first committee in 2000 was this committee in the House, Fisheries Committee. So I really feel comfortable being back with you. Anyway, as you know, you've heard this a couple times. Sorry I missed the last meeting you had. I appreciate Tim being here to explain things. As you know, there have been tremendous ongoing tensions with Russia and with China, and really has caused enormous problems for our fishing industry. Which, as we know, and as you mentioned, represents a major part of our state's economy. Stronger trade agreements and enforcement means more opportunity for our industry, more opportunity for our workforce in all sectors, not just in fisheries. And so anything we do to encourage every effort to address Russia and China's unfair and non-reciprocal trading practices is good. These two resolutions, I'll speak to both of them if you don't mind. Help our congressional delegation. You should be aware of that. A congressional delegation is well aware of what we're doing. They're supportive of what we're doing, and I think they will carry the ball for us once it leaves this building. So we must find any way we can to navigate a return to the what really is a very vibrant industry and take our place again in fisheries and the seafood sector. I think these resolutions are a good first step and a great aid in that cause. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions from this committee for the sponsor? Thank you. We also have Jeremy Woodrow here, Executive Director of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Let me see if we have Mike. We do have Matt Tinning from the, he's the Director of Sustainability and Public Affairs at the At Sea Processors Association, available for questions, as well as Chris Barrows, President of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association. I have a question for Mr. Barrows. This may be a little unorthodox, but this is the Fisheries Committee, so it's okay because it pertains to fishing. Mr. Barrows, I have a question for you. The last time at our last meeting, Representative McCabe was concerned about the fishing fleet up in the Arctic and that not being patrolled maybe as well as it should be from the Coast Guard. And Representative McCabe is a retired Coast Guard individual who had spent some time in Kodiak. I know that you were involved in the fishing industry in your Coast Guard career, so I thought maybe you could give us a little insight on that, or maybe answer some questions, or if in fact there is no patrolling going on, give us some direction. So if you would do that, please.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair, and members of the committee, and also for Representative McCabe for that statement and the question at the last hearing. So I appreciate recognizing that my prior service in the Coast Guard. You're correct that my focus and my specialty actually was in fisheries policy and representing the Coast Guard and managing the Coast Guard's fisheries law enforcement mission, which had both a domestic and an international component to it. 29 years of service, and I started off on ships, boarding vessels on the high seas, and in the U.S. EEZ, and one of my first ships was on the Coast Guard cutter Monroe before she was homeported out of Kodiak. This is when she was homeported out of the Bay Area, and often we took a right turn at the sea buoy there and came up to Alaska and to the Bering Sea specifically, and so I can, with personal experience, describe that the Coast Guard during my tenure was very important that we maintained an enforcement presence in the Bering Sea along the maritime boundary line, both for protecting that the U.S.-Russia maritime boundary line is the one I'm referring to in the Bering Sea, because our EEZs, our exclusive economic zones, joined each other there, and they still do. But also because of the domestic enforcement that was important to be able to be one of the pillars of the foundations of why we are able to accurately describe our fisheries as sustainable and responsibly produced, because we maintain an ability to be able to make sure that our domestic fisheries are also following the rules and the regulations when our fishers go out there. So the Coast Guard was a component of that. And then I expanded beyond the tactical execution to managing the Coast Guard's fishery law enforcement program, both from D.C. and the strategy and policy context, and also here in Juneau at the 17th Coast Guard District, which does the operational planning and execution of those missions. And during my time, we had the Ocean Guardian plan, which was the plan for conducting Coast Guard-wide these fisheries law enforcement missions, and there was a specific focus of that in Alaska. There was always, we call it a one-for-one presence. There was always important to have at that time a not just the air station out of Kodiak that can respond for search and rescue and for to help identify enforcement purposes, but also what we called, the Coast Guard called, a major cutter that was present in the Bering Sea and along the Aleutian Chain to be able to respond to those any indications of concern or illegal activity, or for search and rescue purposes, the air station might identify. So there's a long and strong history, I think, of enforcement presence that also continued out for high sea strip net fishing and for enforcement of regional fisheries management, international regional fisheries management policies and agreements that the United States was part of in the North Pacific. And I my understanding, although I've been out now for 4 or 5 years in terms of the direct association with that, my understanding is that Those enforcement efforts and that search and rescue focus still continues. The level of that continuation is an important factor, I think, for both for the state of Alaska and for the fishing industry. And if there's any questions about that, because I'm not able, obviously, to speak to what the Coast Guard's doing today, but if there's any questions for that, I'm sure that the Coast Guard would be well happy to describe what they're doing and continuing in those efforts.
Thank you, Mr. Barrows. Before I take your question, Representative McCabe, I'd like to acknowledge that Representative Tarr joined us at 11:16. Representative McCabe.
Thanks for the opportunity, Madam Chair, and I appreciate more than you know the Coast Guard's response. My butt still feels the nine-hour C-130 patrols. I'm curious. I know that they are going to a little bit of satellite-based monitoring, especially of the Russian fleet, and I've heard that you can actually see the line based on the Russian ships and fishing ships and how they are at the line. And amazingly enough, every once in a while, one of those transponders on that Russian ship blinks out for 4 or 5 hours, and then it fixes itself. So I'm still remain convinced that on the ground, boots on the ground patrols are necessary because we can't, unless we put a physical presence on the Russian ships, you can't even really tell what they're doing. I don't know what they think they're doing, if they think they're fooling us. But if a transponder blinks out and the ship goes away for 4 hours, I wonder where it went. And then it comes back and just magically it's pointed the other way. I don't know. I wonder if the Coast Guard, if the D-17 or the whatever the district is now down here, if they have a fisheries guy that could at some point come talk to us, maybe might be real educational for us as we go forward if we have a chance. I know that I'll have to run through Chair Tarr as well. But
that's a great idea, and I'll pass that on to Chair Tarr.
Thanks.
She can hear us, so yeah. She's probably jotting it down as we speak.
Through the chair, Madam Vice Chair, if I may, I also should have announced my name for the record. Just because I was here, sorry for being so familiar, but my name is Chris Barrows. I'm the president of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association. And to Mr. McCabe's point, I can confirm that on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, one of the non-voting seats, as required by the Magnuson-Stevens Act, includes the Coast Guard. And so the Admiral is the Admiral of District 17 is the designated representative for the Coast Guard in that process. And they give reports regularly at every meeting about their continuation of fisheries enforcement and search and rescue effort. And so I'm sure that they'd be more than happy to expound upon that for this body as well.
Thank you. Are there other questions for Mr. Barrows? I appreciate the indulgence of this committee allowing me to veer off a little bit. So now we'll get back on task. Mr. Barrows, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments insofar as SJR 16 or 17? Seeing none, Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to say thank you to my Senator Stevens for bringing this forward and for the committee working in unison to make the positive amendments. And so I move SJR 16, labeled 32-LS0912/A, out of committee as amended with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objections, SJR 16 moves from committee. Representative Christ Tompkins. Oh, Representative Story.
I move SJR 17, labeled 32-LS0913/A. Out of committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objections, SJR 17 moves from committee. Congratulations, Senator Stevens. Thank you for the resolutions. They're very much appreciated by many. Is there other business to come before this committee? Seeing none, I will adjourn this meeting at 11:24, and I'm sure before I adjourn it, you will be, at some time in the next few days, you will be hearing from Representative Tarr as to the agenda for this committee. So with that, yes. I thank you all.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Would you like to make a comment, Representative Tarr?
No, that's fine, and I apologize. I was having trouble getting through on the phone line, so I've been on, but everything was fine. Thank you.
Okay. With that, unless another member has a comment, I will adjourn this meeting.